Let me speak to political commentator Alex Keane. Alex, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Alex, Secretary of State doesn't see anything has changed at all considering the outcome of the election. When he discusses Westminster, he sees it as separate from discussing Stormont. He doesn't accept that the waters have now muddied.
Well, I think he's wrong in saying they haven't muddied. They clearly have muddied. And I think over the weekend, Sinn Féin were making it fairly clear that if the DUP entered into some sort of formal arrangement with the Conservatives, that would have a fairly catastrophic impact on what would happen in the executive. But my own instinct is that it's not going to be a formal deal. I think the DUP themselves don't want a formal deal because they don't want to get blamed for anything bad that might happen in the next few months. And also, I think it's worth bearing in mind, the DUP need the Assembly up and running. They want it up and running because there's no point, Frank, in them getting money or cash injections or project funding, whatever they want to call it, or getting soft deals or some assurances on Brexit if they don't have the Assembly. They don't want all of this then handed back to a Secretary of State. They want actually to have their hands all over this. And I think what they might be trying to say to Sinn Féin is, in a few days' time, look, guys, we haven't gone into this for personal, selfish reasons. We've actually got money for health, for roads, for this project. We've done something. We've got assurances on Brexit. We're willing to work for Northern Ireland, bigger scheme and things like this. And they may say, guys, you wouldn't have got this. Had you taken your seats, maybe you'd be talking to Jeremy Corbyn now. We did what we thought was the right thing to do in the circumstances. So, yeah, I think while it's a little bit of muddy into the waters, Frank, I think it's also, there's a challenge there. Do Sinn Féin and the DUP want to do this together? Sinn Féin had walked out before. The relationships were bad before. They have both have to make a choice now. But the notion that the DUP will prioritise Westminster, let's face it, Theresa May will probably be gone in a matter of weeks, maybe months. There's going to be a second general election within a year. DUP have to be extraordinarily careful that they don't bind themselves to an unpopular government and then find themselves, if Jeremy Corbyn won an election, which is not impossible now, they do not want Jeremy Corbyn to be, you know, trying to, well, you know, guys, you did this when you were doing your deal with the Conservatives. I'm no friend of yours. So the DUP will be more cautious, I think, than a lot of people imagine.
But Alex, surely it's all about perception. And if you're in there in the cut and thrust of negotiations regarding the latest round of Stormont talks and things are going against you, say Sinn Féin feel this is simply not acceptable, the DUP are getting a particular head start on one of the controversial issues, it's going to be seen as being payback time from the Tories.
Oh, I think that's worth bearing in mind, but you have to set against that, Frank, is that what the DUP want to do? I mean, I agree. I write in one of today's papers, I'm sort of saying that if the DUP go for this, if they go for a foolish, self-serving arrangement with the DUP, yeah, there will be payback time. It might even be payback time with the electorate here in Northern Ireland if there's an early Assembly election. My instinct, and I could be entirely wrong, Frank, it does happen in these things. My instinct is that the DUP will not go for that. The DUP want to be able to say, look, when we were given the moment to be a big player, when we were given the moment to represent all of Northern Ireland, we took that moment. We recognised that there were economic problems, recognised there were funding problems, recognised there were problems with Brexit. We addressed those. We have got something which we think is good for Northern Ireland. If that's what they do, that makes it easier for Sinn Féin. But yes, you're right. If they try and say, oh, we want cultural lists, or we want agreements on parades, or we want stuff on legacy, yeah, there'll be a problem there because the legacy stuff cannot be discussed separately. And oddly enough, I think the Theresa May, whoever is the Conservative Prime Minister, will be wary of that because they don't want to collapse the project either. So both parties, both the DUP will not want to push this to the destruction of the Assembly, and equally, Theresa May doesn't want to be the head, a Prime Minister who's already in deep doo-doo, doesn't want to be the Prime Minister also responsible for bringing down the entire Good Friday Agreement. So I think there will be caution.
Most people would be in favour of additional money for capital projects. Most people would be, certainly the pensioners would be in favour of the triple lock and all of that that the DUP might be insisting on. The DUP could draw up a list of issues that favour all of Northern Ireland or most of Northern Ireland, and people could be applauding them. But I'm sure you're in the minority this morning thinking that the DUP aren't going to use their power at the moment for leverage in relation to legacy issues and cultural issues.
Oh, look, I'm in a minority, Frank. Yes, I accept that. But I'm also bearing in mind that the DUP will have some issues with Madeline, and they may think they can chance their arm in this, but they're up against the government. They're up against the Conservative Party in government and the House of Commons, which will be saying, look, you cannot do this. You cannot do legacy to the exclusion of Sinn Féin and the SDLP and the Ulster Unionists and every other party in the Northern Ireland Assembly. You cannot do this sort of side deal at the expense of risking the Assembly coming back, at the expense of risking the whole process going down. So I'm simply saying that my own instinct is that there will be caution. I think, and for the DUP, the other thing to bear in mind, Frank, is if we're looking, this is not going to be a government in it for the long term, even with the Conservatives or the DUP support. Its minority or its majority is minimal. All it takes is half a dozen Conservative backbenchers to rebel. And that's the other thing to bear in mind. They will, Frank. There are some Conservative backbenchers who are very unhappy at the prospect of of relying on DUP support at all. Those are people who've been some of them former ministers have been through this process for 20 years. All of their instincts will be to not allow the DUP to wreck what's happening in Northern Ireland. So they may be saying to May quietly, that's fine, do a deal with the DUP. Yes, we can give them some money. Yes, we can help on some funding projects. But Prime Minister, if you do anything that puts this process at risk, then yes, we're telling you we will vote against you if that comes to an issue in the House of Commons.
Do you have a sense of hope about the talks at Stormont? A lot of commentators think it could be next year before we see any progress, if we see any at all.
You're asking me, Frank, Mr. Northern Ireland pessimism, you're asking me if I have a sense of hope. Listen, I always thought it was going to be a long, drawn-out process, although my instincts were, no matter how bad things look, we usually manage to cobble something together.
And it's now become more difficult.
Well, in one sense, I don't know, because it was already difficult, because you and I talked about this 2 or 3 months ago, and I said to you, I wasn't clear in my mind, I wasn't sure if it was clear in the minds of Sinn Féin themselves, was how important the Assembly was to them. Had they begun to think beyond the Assembly? Did they actually think that they could get more outside an Assembly, outside an Executive, than they could get inside? I don't know if that's been resolved, but in terms of the DUP, as I said earlier, the DUP are getting funding. If they're getting what I think, and oddly enough, what I hope they'll go for, because it would make sense to go for those big project stuff, if that's what they go for, then they, as I say, they'll need the Assembly to make it work. And maybe they can just say to Sinn Féin, look, guys, we could have done the following things. We didn't. We chose not to do the following things. We chose to act in what we think is the best interest of everyone, including your party. If you get back into the government again, it'll be your ministers will be helping to implement this in terms of funding. That's what we're doing. If that's the minds of both parties in a few days' time, Frank, then yeah, we can get a deal. But if Sinn Féin have decided that they're not actually fussed about a deal at all, and if the DUP go for a very stupid, oh, give us stuff on legacy, give us stuff on parade, if that's what happens, then yeah, there's no chance of a deal at all. But if both of them look at and think, well, yeah, there's room that didn't exist a week ago, Frank. I think that's what's important at this stage. And the other thing worth bearing in mind, Frank, in all of this, if Sinn Féin took their seats and had 7 seats, if the SDLP had kept their seats, you know, both the SDLP and Sinn Féin would be talking to Jeremy Corbyn right now about the creation of an alternative government, because the numbers are so tight that if you got the Scots Nats, SDLP, Sinn Féin, a few others in Greens, all those together, they might just be able to get enough to make a working government. So yeah, Sinn Féin, yes, it would be doing exactly the same thing as the DUP now, and it's about doing it for the right reasons, not about thinking, oh, here's our chance to get this sorted, because in so doing, the DUP wouldn't have much of a relationship with the Conservatives, because it would collapse quickly, and particularly if Jeremy Corbyn came along as Prime Minister. But they also know that there would be no chance at all of getting Sinn Féin, getting the SDLP, or maybe even getting Alliance into an executive with them.
And finally, Alex, the image of the DUP across the United Kingdom over the weekend, especially on social media, was as bleak an assessment of a political party as I've ever seen. It proved to some extent that people across the water, first of all, didn't know very much about the DUP, and secondly, when they started out to broadcast on social media about them, they really highlighted all the issues that make a caricature of the DUP.
Yes, and I think I said at the weekend, I think on Friday at some stage, that's exactly what was going to happen. It was the same thing we saw happening with the mainstream Conservative press and social media in England at the time of Jeremy Corbyn. They poured everything at him. They made it up if necessary. They went back over 30, 40 years. They said, this is a man who's a terrorist-hugging Marxist. All that stuff didn't play out. They're doing this exactly the same that he, understandably so. It's what parties do because they're angry that a Conservative government, which didn't get a mandate, in my own view, Theresa May should have resigned immediately, but that's neither here nor there. But what is, I think, at a crucial point of all this, Frank, and I think it's something the DUP need to think about in unionism as well, there is a very negative impression of the Democratic Unionist Party. They will be out there. There's a very negative dimension to this in the sense that the Democratic Unionist Party say, oh, well, we see eye to eye with the Conservative government on the big issues of the United Kingdom and so on. But there will be people saying, well, hang on, you say, Mrs. Foster, that your party believes in the integrity of the United Kingdom, the equality of citizenship of the United Kingdom, but here's a raft of moral, ethical, socio issues in which you are out of step, in which you've allowed Northern Ireland to become a place apart. And I think we'll see it if they get this deal sorted out in the next few days, I think you will see an enormous and I think important challenge to the DUP, where newspapers and journalists and writers and academics will be saying to the DUP, define your unionism. Define what you mean when you say you're a unionist. You want the values and the benefits of the United Kingdom, but you won't give. You don't agree in same-sex marriage. You don't agree in this. You don't believe in that. You don't think that's necessary. You know, where does your unionism fit in with the fact that you seem to have allowed Northern Ireland to be just maybe 10, 20, 30 years behind the rest of the United Kingdom? So that is a challenge that the DUP need. But again, set against that, Frank, there are tissues, there are barrels of lies coming out, stuff that I know, I mean, I've been here long enough, I know it's not true, but that's the danger of social media. People can say anything they like. I saw, actually, a poster from 40 years ago from the first referendum campaign that said, the DUP says, vote for the European Union, vote to stay in the common market, and you're voting for the Antichrist, you're voting for Catholic supremacy, you're voting for this, that. Whatever that may have been then, Frank, that's completely changed. The Democratic Unionist Party is sitting in government with Sinn Féin, with all the difficulties they have in that. The Democratic Unionist Party, like the Conservative, look at Labour. Labour, until 1997, was anti basically everything. Wanted with its official policy was a United Ireland. They didn't give a damn about consensus or anything. Like, they've moved. Political parties move. So Arlene has to be careful that she rises to that challenge and actually does take it on board, because there are a lot of unionists, Frank, who are not in the DUP, who live in Northern Ireland, also ask that question. Well, what exactly does the DUP mean by unionism? What are the values they are upholding at this moment? So, yeah, that challenge is no bad thing.
Okay, Alex Kane, thank you very much indeed. Political commentator Alex Kane. Michael's got a point. Good morning, Michael.
Morning, Frank.
Yes, Michael.
I just want to point out, people seem to forget that Theresa May stood on the steps at Downing Street and called her party the Conservative and Unionist Party. So they're the same party as far as she's concerned now when it suits her. I honestly can't see her surviving them. That other fellow mentioned again there that the Tories have a right wing and they also have a left wing who won't like the DUP one bit. And it only takes a couple of votes from them voting against their own party to bring it down. I just can't see it working. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, well, she did say Conservative and Unionist because that's technically the name of the Conservative Party. But in the past, it was Conservative and Ulster Unionist. Now it's Conservative and Democratic Unionist. So yeah, there are differences in terms of unionism and unionism here. But I suppose we're splitting hairs in relation to the name of the party. You have no faith in this confidence and supply agreement.
Well, if the DUP get stuff for all the people of Northern Ireland, which they say they are going to, and don't go for the sectarian bits, it could be good. But I don't think they'll ever can change the spot. I think they'll start to try and get this parades thing changed and all that.
Okay, Michael, thank you.